Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell other people about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. It is a strange time of year. Christmas is over, the tree is down, the beautiful outdoor lights are gone, New Year's has come and gone. We are returning to our everyday lives once more. The kids are back to school, we are back to work. The familiar routines begin again, and life may be a little less exciting than the holiday season. For municipal leaders, local bureaucrats, and concerned residents, it's time to gear back up. Budget deliberations, ongoing planning issues, new proposals, and old problems crank up as the political machine starts up again for a new year. This week marks the start of a series of interviews with key politicians in Northumberland, from our MPP to MP and the heads of council and county council. I will be talking to them about the year that has passed and what residents can expect for 2020. So let's get started. Cramie Township is a busy place. With its first major subdivision underway, new additions to municipal staff, and some tensions surrounding the cannabis operations, council has plenty on its plate. That does not include its 2020 budget, the new strategic plan for the Chamber of Commerce, and who knows what else is on the horizon. With me to bring us up to speed on this and more, I am so pleased to welcome Cramie Township Mayor Mandy Martin into the studio. Welcome, Mandy.
Thank you, Robert.
A little over a year ago, just as you were getting sworn into office, there was a public meeting. A company called Sharpshooter met with about 50 people at the Queen's Hotel to talk about a $10 million cannabis operation. It was proposing an old industrial site near Lakeport on the Cramie-Alnwick-Haldimand border was going to grow plants to distill oils. Since then, a lot has happened. You said at the time, if an industry wants to come to town and they are willing to abide by the zoning regulations and establish a site plan agreement, then they are perfectly within their right to do so. That was January of 2019. Has your position changed to date?
No, not at all.
What has happened since that time to make you resolved in that aspect, or why have you taken that position? Maybe that's a better question.
I took that position right from the get-go, that we have our zoning bylaws and our planning bylaws, etc., and we abide by them. Nothing has changed. The Sharpshooter proposal, by the way, has never come to council. We have yet to receive a site plan proposal from them.
Have they tried at all to submit anything? Has there been a negotiation back and forth? What is the status?
I think that they have probably come into the town hall and talked to the planner or whatever, general stuff, you know, in terms of how is the zoning and what's happening and so on. But no, we've had nothing.
Is there any business activity taking place there? Have they started to do anything with their operation? Are they allowed to do that, in fact, if they haven't got a site plan?
They can't go into business. They can't. The people who own the property, of course, can go and do improvements to the building or clean up the yard or whatever. But we are unaware of anything that needs a building permit, for example, or any kind of major activity that would be beyond yard work.
Okay, so they can't go in, for example, and start growing plants or
absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
So that's important to understand. There was a letter of support from council that went to Sharpshooter in 2018. That was prior to your term in office. Council subsequently approved an interim control bylaw that put a hold on 1 year for any proposal to establish a marijuana production facility in the township because the council wanted to review the situation. I think at the time you said you needed to review the whole approach to cannabis and production facilities. Why did you do that right away? What was your purpose in putting in that 1 year hold?
Keeping in mind it was the previous council, but I think that what was wanted was they wanted the time to review the existing bylaws that are in place to ensure that it was going to be universal across the township. And so that meant a time to review, et cetera, et cetera. We are now on January 28th of this month, this year. We have a prepared bylaw coming to council with a meeting that's going to be, it's going to be made public, the new proposed, and I would say a little more stringent bylaw that will govern how cannabis operations can be allowed.
So in fact, since that time, there has been a review that's been going on actively to look at zoning around the cannabis industry.
Very actively, and we've had two meetings, public input meetings, so that final now, the final bylaw, et cetera, is going to come to council on January 28th.
Okay, so that holding bylaw that's been in place, it's been about a year since that announcement that was put into place. Is it still going to be in effect until the review is finished, or will it, in other words, I guess I'm trying to understand, is there a gap between when that holding bylaw ends in a year and your ability to pass particular zoning changes that would be necessary?
There is no gap.
Okay.
These regulations hold.
Okay.
And I think what people who perhaps are not in the situation that we are in Crammy Township, it's not the industrial production that is our problem. It is the illegal grow-ups that are giving us cause and problems.
And I want to talk about that in a little bit, but just so that we can finish up this sharpshooter thing, because I know there's been a lot of tension around that. Last February, a group of residents in the Lakeport area, calling themselves residents in Lakeport, began to raise concerns about sharpshooter. And I'd like to talk a bit about that and the citizen, you know, the citizens' response to what's been going on. Could you, first of all, tell people a little bit about Lakeport and the location of this industry? Because I think its location adds to a little bit of what's going on and some of the tensions.
Well, the property that is owned by Sharpshooter is two-thirds in Crammy Township and one-third in Allnutt-Caldeman Township. It is a former industrial site. And I shouldn't say former, it's still zoned industrial and was an industrial operation for over 100 years. So it has been zoned industrial. So what would you like to know?
Oh, maybe a little bit about Lakeport. What is Lakeport like? If I've never been there, there might be some listeners that never don't know anything about
Lakeport
it.
Lakeport is a beautiful rural hamlet. Again, most of the houses are in Allnutt-Caldeman beyond the border. And there are some on the eastern side. It's on the lakefront, on the Lake Ontario waterfront and back. But the Sharpshooter property is actually off a county road.
Okay. Can you, from your perspective, describe some of the concerns that these people have raised around Sharpshooter?
Oh, I think they're concerned about odors and they seem to think people will come and be buying. All of that, of course, when it's a federally licensed, et cetera, it has to have a federal license and approved. And if it's an industrial operation, it must meet all the stipulations for odor, for setback, for fire, for you name it. So the concerns that people have had, I think they're imagining an open kind of operation. So they're concerned about odor, they're concerned about traffic, and I think they're just concerned, period, by the unknown.
Now, when you mentioned that it's regulated by Health Canada, what role then does the municipality play? What is your responsibility then in this?
If there's a building, then it must be meeting our building codes and our zonings and our stipulations. So that is where we come in.
So you really don't have bylaws or that would say look after odors or controls on traffic or those kinds of things?
All those things go into a site plan agreement, all those things.
And that would be part of the municipal responsibility?
Correct.
Okay.
And then whoever it is, for example, in this particular business, they would have to meet all the federal stipulations as well.
From your position, then, these concerns, do you feel that council's resolved them?
I think, number one, please keep in mind, we still have no proposal.
So until you get that proposal, yeah. Really, there's nothing to talk about? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, frankly, because we're in a position now where we have a strengthened bylaw coming before us. I think we're in great shape. I think people are probably exercised by something that hasn't even come to fruition yet.
Okay. Well, there was some public input during this from a gentleman by the name of Raymond Lee Hathaway, who introduced himself to council as a medical cannabis patient and also a licensed paralegal. And he warned council could face litigation if the township adopted measures that crossed over into the federal jurisdiction. What was council's response to that when he came forward? That was some time ago, but it seemed
that
like
was at one
concern.
Of the public meetings.
Yeah,
and well, that's his opinion. I have total confidence in our own staff and in our own ability. As I say, we still have nothing concrete, so we're talking. All you're talking here is speculation.
Well, that's really interesting too, because at some point, Sharpshooter went on a public record as saying that it plans to begin its operation in the summer of 2020. And what you're saying to me is there hasn't even been a site plan.
Correct.
Is that even possible? I mean, if you got a site plan, say today when you got back to the office, would you be able to put things in place that they could be working and operating by the summertime?
Well, perhaps, but I think keep in mind all these site plans also have to circulate to all the other authorities, like any other industry. I would say it would be highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely. Okay. Now, as you mentioned earlier, and I want to talk a bit about this because I know this is a large concern to you as well, is these industrial-sized illegal operations that went on. We just saw a major drug bust last month. Could you tell us what happened there and its significance?
It was in an operation that was growing. It was over $3 million was the value of the bust in the former South Crammy Public School. The property had been sold, and it was being used as a marijuana production facility. There's a gray area still in place. When cannabis was legalized by the federal government, and we recognize and accept that it's an agricultural product, but what was happening was, I think the idea was that eventually, through the stores, legitimate stores that were established by governments, provincial and federal or whatever, that is how cannabis would be sold. But in the gap, in the interim, what is happening, these so-called other operations are growing for people who have medical quote certificates. They're growing for relief from pain or asthma or whatever. What happens is that they have not the space to grow their own, so they contract out with someone to ostensibly grow for them. But there's no way we can check who is actually licensed. You know, who are they growing for? We cannot check the names. We're told that freedom of information, that's a privacy matter. And we're, just from the volume that we're seeing, it's obvious, patently obvious, that more than just, you know, one or two or three or 10 or 20 even people with medical needs, and by the way, the need, if your various diseases qualify for various numbers of plants, you know, maybe four for you for your medical condition, it could be up to 26 for somebody, you know, it's arbitrary.
It just seems hard to imagine $3 million being licensed out to a group of people. I mean, making that connection, I guess, between...
It was not, and obviously, yeah. You know, that's why the raid, and that was... But we have more than, I mean, just more than that plant. These things are existing all over the place. And I'm telling you, we are not the only municipality. It's probably where the municipality is creating the most noise about it, because we feel it's not conducive to the way we live.
So talk about the issues then that you're seeing taking place. What is the issue then? If let's say, for example, somebody had a greenhouse out and it was large and industrial sized and it did meet the requirements, what are the concerns that you have? You've mentioned already that you can't track whether or not it's legitimate. But what are some of the other things that are affecting people?
Well, we have a right, for example, building permits. There should be building permits and approvals. For a large number of people, it's the odor that is exuded. It really is quite a stink, and it permeates a whole neighborhood when the crop is coming on. So that's what the outdoor greenhouse kind of situation or outdoor growing. And then there's the harvesting. Often people are not at home. They're not residences per se that are occupied full time, so that there are dogs, for example, which are kept to guard the property. Sometimes these dogs are left untended, unfed. So the poor things, obviously, they can become aggressive. So people feel that they can't walk the road in their neighborhood, for example, without fear of being attacked or whatever. And there have been instances of that. Other people report seeing people coming, patrolling the property, and guns have been shown.
So that's phenomenal. I mean, it's hard to imagine. These operations, are they within a greenhouse, or are they just open fields, or... I'm just trying to imagine what it would look like if I was...
Most of them are within contained buildings, so it can be an old barn. We have one large operation in particular that I'm targeting, and the council is currently targeting, and it had up to 14 very large greenhouses, plastic-wrapped, framed houses, and they grow.
Now,
it's on agricultural land... and so we're dealing with that zoning as well. Are they infraction? Because cannabis can be, designated as an agricultural product. But our new bylaw states that you cannot grow cannabis.
Have you been able to talk to any of these people? Do they respond to
anything? Oh, we have sent letters of compliance and so on. As I say, they're absentee. For the first little while, letters were sent and returned. To an address out of province, and returned. And finally, we've made contact several times with either the manager or the representative of the owner or whatever. And we have been very explicit, like, we intend to go in. If you don't comply, we have the right to go in and seize.
Now, is this part of the bylaw that you were talking about earlier that going to be discussed on the 28th of January?
I think that the new bylaw will add teeth to the equation. We have the right now, though, to do this.
So what's stopping you?
But
from
if you
acting?
Go to, well, we have been acting.
Okay.
But here's the thing: if you go to court, you have to be very sure all your I's are dotted and T's crossed, and you have to show that you have done everything possible to give people the opportunity to comply, that they understand that now we negotiated, now we talked, and so on. And so we've done all these things, and now we're getting to the point.
So we're at a tipping point. Very
yes.
Close.
And the other thing that happens is, as in so many other cases in the municipal world today, nobody wants to go to court, and everybody screams, the cost, et cetera, et cetera. And yes, it's prohibitive and so on and so forth. But at one point, do you draw a line in the sand? So we are prepared to go to court.
Very serious situation. Where is law enforcement in regards to this kind of thing? Where do you distinguish, I guess, between the illegal operation, which we saw action on it at the old school on Purdy Road, versus some of these people that you're dealing with? Can you help us understand
it
where
takes
that line
a
is?
It takes, there is no line. We're all in this together. Okay. What takes the homework is just as I said, mm-hmm. You have to go through these processes, make sure you've done all those things. You've done your homework, you've got the paperwork, you've mm-hmm. researched the claims that are made that this is legal or whatever. And so that takes time. But I must say, the Northumberland OPP have really stepped up their game. They really are stepping up their game. We're talking all the time. We're sharing information. We're being made aware. And they, of course, are in a difficult position because they are provincial. And much of this legislation that has come down is federal when it comes to these licensing of medicinal growers.
And I guess that if there's any question mark whether it's legal or illegal, they would be stepping in on the, if there was any sign that anything would be illegal about these operations. Is that correct?
They are certainly willing to investigate and look, and that's what it takes. We have to be very careful.
Quite a minefield to be walking through.
It is, and I think it's frustrating for residents and others. You know, they seem to in this day of instant communication and instant, there are processes, and that is what is frustrating, I think, to people.
And certainly, I would think also, have you got many allies in other municipalities that are, you know, go crammy, go, what can we do to help? Or are you finding that there's...
They come individually and say so. But there hasn't been a unified
Do you think
course?
The process that you're creating and what you're going through will become a template maybe for others?
I have no idea. I would like to think that we're an example. For example, if going to court, the other thing about going to court is everybody's afraid of setting precedents. Be insurance companies or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that I'm perfectly willing to set precedents.
Okay. I'd like to take a small break right now, and we're going to take a few commercials, and then we're going to come back. I'm talking to Mandy Martin. She is the Crammy Township Mayor, and please stay tuned to consider this on Northumberland 89.7, your truly local source for news. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. I'm talking to Crammy Township Mayor Mandy Martin. Mandy, this has been your first year as mayor. It was a historic victory as the first woman to be mayor of Crammy Township. How would you describe the past year?
Actually, it's been very exciting. It's been wonderful. I have been just so thrilled. We have a terrific council. We have an excellent council. We are all working together. And we all come from different backgrounds, and we bring different things to the table. It's been very, very exciting. Even when we're challenged by sudden emergencies, for example, when we lost a Trenier road, a major side road, and we had it back and up and running within three weeks, which is pretty, I think, fantastic. But that's a measure of working together and knowing who to contact and how to do it. And I think when we start to apply our own local knowledge instead of relying just on consultants and engineers from afar or whatever, use your own practical common sense and start to approach these problems, and we can do it.
What would be one of the biggest lessons you've learned over the last year?
That people assume the negative first. You take any action, and it's really kind of interesting. People assume there's some skullduggery going on. They look for the other motive. Is so-and-so benefiting from this? Is somebody getting a job? Is somebody got a pocketing something? And I think to myself, that's really kind of sad. Is that how they think governments run?
What do you think fuels that cynicism?
I think probably past experience in some cases. The old, you know, pork barrel didn't come from nowhere is a term, and various measures of that. But I think, too, just people have feeling that they have no plug-in. Where do they make their voices heard, or how do they find out? It's no secret. I'm an ex-journalist or retired journalist, and I think locally people miss a local newspaper or a local media contact where they used to get their news.
What has been the most enjoyable moment for you over the past year?
Oh, there have been many. It depends. It depends. I've had lots of funny moments, just wonderful moments of laughter. I particularly like working with coming across kids or whatever and their take on things. Kids are very earnest today. They're very earnest. but they have some unique ideas and perspectives. I have to mention the Castleton Pet Parade, the annual Christmas pet parade. It grew this year. There was, I think, about four times the size of last year. But that is just intrinsically a fun community event. And, of course, I'm an animal lover, so here come all the dogs and whatnot marching. It was just fun. There's been some real highlights. The other thing is that we have now, we're part of the Northumberland Health Team, which is, I think, a major coup. That's the countywide approach to providing our own health services across the county without being lumped into great larger areas. And Colburn has offered office space, so we will be having an outreach operation which will be a base for 16 community agencies that provide healthcare services, like the diabetic clinic, some doctors, rebound counseling, whatever, and that will be set up in downtown Colburn.
I'd like to come back to that, but I'd like to talk a little bit more about your experience over the last year, because as you say, this has been a big change to going from being a journalist to being a politician. What has most notably changed in your life?
Hours of sleep. Hours of sleep. I would say a lot. You know, it's not that dramatic a change. People say, how do you do it? How do you go to so many events? How can you be doing this? Well, frankly, that's what it was like when you were covering local news. You were going to those events anyway. You were going to those evening events. That wasn't such a dramatic change.
Has there been any impact on your personal life?
What life? What personal life?
Was there never a problem? Oh, gee. There's a headline.
No.
Any regrets over the past year?
There were a couple of times where I had loose lips. I reacted in frustration, and I hope those have been rectified. I have gone back and apologized.
Let's now go back to some of the policy things and some of the other things that are going on. You mentioned the Ontario Health Team as being a major...
Northumberland Health Team.
Yes,
yeah.
Northumberland Health Team. and the impact on Colborne. One of their goals is to enhance rural accessibility. Can you tell us a little more detail about this? I mean, you've talked about there's going to be a space, there's going to be all these services coming. How is it, first of all, that you got involved in this and became one of the key players in this plan? And how do you see it impacting the community?
Yes, I should say I'm. If you regard me as key, there are many valuable players. It was truly a community-wide team event of all these people. Mm-hmm. So what has happened in the past, for example, with lack of services, lack of counseling, for example, for mental health or children or families or whatever, or services, what happens is that when they're not available locally, also transportation is a problem, people tend to plug up emergency rooms, hospital emergency rooms. And so you often see, you know, cases that perhaps shouldn't be there. They're not true emergencies, but they are people in need who need service. But they're not acute, you know. It's not an acute situation. So I think when we we had our former PUC offices, when they have been taken over now and have been vacant. Well, they were renovated, and there are four counseling rooms in there. There's a meeting room so that you can have group sessions or whatever. Somebody can set up clinics, for example, for vaccinations or whatever. And agencies initially will come, you know, one or two days a month and build as the need goes on. It's very, very exciting to us because fortunately, we had the space available to offer. I hate to say it, but it was sort of out of sight, out of mind. We didn't really realize that we had the space until one of our staff members said, well, we've got this space. We were actually looking at space in the town hall and so on, and Keeler Center. But here we have a perfect space. It's got parking. It's accessible. It's handicapped accessible. It's very exciting. And I was also became increasingly aware of this, of course, because as a mayor, you sit on county council. And it was Northumberland County with the hospital administrators who really spearheaded this.
So that was your pathway in, was through county council and through the participation of the county council in the setting up of the Ontario Health Team.
Well, certainly of awareness.
Yeah.
I sit on the paramedics committee. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the paramedics now have instituted a mobile,
yes,
unit that goes through the central part of this county and just sort of patrols and is available. And that has reduced the number of people making direct visits to the hospital. Here they are, they're traveling through. And the idea is to increase so that when paramedics are not being in use or whatever, they can make these calls to individual homes or to people in need to check blood pressure, to check things, to be available, to offer an opinion. And that saves transporting people into the hospital. So because I was on that committee, became aware that, yes, the focus was to establish two rural satellite areas, Roseneath and Colburn, and we had space immediately available. It was pretty exciting.
Indeed, and if anybody's interested more on the Ontario Health Team, you can go to my website at consider-this.ca, and there's a podcast where we've interviewed seven of the major players.
Wonderful.
So if you're looking for background. I'd like to talk now about Foxtail Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's the largest residential development in the history of Cramie Township. When you came to office, it seemed like the deal was mostly done. I think the ribbon cutting and the launch had already taken place a few weeks before the election. But your council has really been the one that has taken on the serious work as the developers are starting to actually put spades in the ground and actually build structures. Can you bring us up to date as what has taken place in the past year?
Well, in terms of overall development,
yes.
Well, we have a challenge because we have a water treatment plant which was built to take much more capacity. In a nutshell, what we have problem with is what we call infiltration. Our existing pipes, we're having trouble with infiltration of groundwater. In other words, so the groundwater is getting into the pipes that lead to the water treatment plant, and that is taking up space. The water that comes in all has to be treated. But we know because it's just groundwater that's leaking into the water that has to be treated, that's costly in terms of the chemicals to treat it and then treat it again before it is released. And it's taking up the capacity that we need to approve new load. In other words, new houses, new industry, whatever. And so our big, big challenge this year is we've been working diligently, studying and working to address the infiltration problem so that we will have the, quote, actual numbered capacity to take on new development.
Do you have to replace those pipes then? Or do all those
What we're discovering is that we can do, for example, manhole covers that have been come loose or are leaking, or actually some were even just buried. One was actually underground in a stream, so the stream water was just flowing through. There are things like this.
Oh, wow.
So we're really addressing, we're doing our homework.
I understand though that there's been some changes to the development charges being levied. Is that part of this program to improve services?
Our own development fees remain the same. I think what's happening is at the county council level, they are investigating implementing their own development charge on top of whatever the municipal one is.
It's not in effect yet. Okay, I thought there was some negotiation that went on between Foxtail and the...
What they were originally paying
to what they're paying now.
When they first started, this was before I was elected mayor, whatever,
yes,
but they had negotiated with their investors, et cetera, to finance their development, and they were given the development fees that were charged by Cramie. When they, 6 months later, when Foxtail had signed the deal and whatever, the township passed new development fees, retroactive, 6 months retroactive. And so the position was, well, that's not how to do business. You can't go in and have investors you've done your due diligence, you've signed everything, whatever, and then suddenly you retroactively say, well, now I want your farm. In addition to. So that was the, so what we did was we negotiated. The first 37 houses that are being built are in at the former rate. The next houses, up to 109 in total, will pay the new rate, because there was enough time for the company then to make the money back.
And these development charges, they pay for things like sewer connections, road,
water,
all that
services,
stuff.
Library, services, whatever. Yeah.
Speaking of the library, that's been a big item over the last year. Bring us up to speed on what has happened with the Colborne Library expansion.
Well, Mary Norton, the CEO of the library, spearheaded that and saw the need, and their tremendous library board. They've got a great library board. And they've expanded, added an addition, which includes a meeting room and a practice room for the ukulele band and their classes, which are now up to, I think, over 100 people taking ukulele lessons and so on. And by the way, they leave next Wednesday. 21 of that ukulele group are going to Cuba for 2 weeks. And they're going to be plinkety-plinking and playing and making contact with a local school and leaving ukuleles, making a ball. It's all very exciting.
Well, everybody mark your calendar.
But the library itself offers so many more programs than just that. It's it's a real outreach center.
You've mentioned some of the things that have made a difference in terms of overall within the library structure and the service that the municipality offers. Has it made a big difference, do you think, having this expansion?
Oh, huge, because it accommodates people. There's now actually a lovely reading area with a fireplace, you know, people can read. There's a whole wing now has been dedicated to young kids and teenagers. They have their own section. There's a small bilingual, a French language section. It's become a real service to the community.
Moving on then, staffing has been a big thing during your last year. Just after you arrived, the Fire Chief Brandon Northrup resigned. Craig Brooks, we haven't talked about that yet, but he left abruptly. Were you cleaning house at that time? Was that the purpose of what was happening?
I think we were looking at the structure that was in place, and our council as a whole, we felt that we wanted accountability and cooperation and a team. We wanted a team approach to whatever we were going to do. We're a small community. We have to do it together. There can be no one size fits all for some of these positions. I'd just like to say that it took me 3 months when I first came to office. It took me 3 months to get a key to the office.
What's that signal there was, to you?
To me, it was, there was some balking. There was some balking, and that's just moot. Who cares? Whatever. But what we've done in the meantime is we've established now, we've done a complete study of staffing and reorganization, and yes, we have been moving to reorganize and outline who's responsible for what, and the accountability. Also, the salary structure has been studied, and we're looking at making that equitable and fair in terms of our size and in terms of the duties that are being asked of people. So yes, we have a new, wonderful new fire chief. We have a deputy fire chief part-time. We have, who's new? We have a new CAO, Aaron McNichol, who's fabulous. And we have a new clerk. We have just hired a new clerk. That announcement will be made next week.
You also have a new planner, do you not?
We have a new planner, top-notch planner, yes.
So lots of changes in that regard.
Yes.
Yeah. There was a an issue raised not too long ago about a Municipal Property Assessment Corporation impact and the effect that it's having on farmers being hard hit by increases in their taxes. And it's been raised at council. It's not only your council, but many, many councils, especially along the 401 corridor. Have you done or do you plan to take any advocacy on behalf of the farmers? Because I know you have a very large agricultural community that you serve. To lobby on their behalf to prevent some of these astronomical increases in property tax that they're facing due to impact.
Well, I think, for example, I sit on the agricultural committee at the county council level, and locally we are just establishing now an agricultural advisory committee with a councillor and members of the agricultural community. And again, I emphasize, agriculture isn't just sort of something that's off in the distance. It is our largest industry, and I want to keep emphasizing that they are an industry. They're not a world unto themselves. They are a viable, vibrant, and integral part of our economy. And I'd like, actually, economists everywhere to start recognizing that agriculture comes to the table as an equal player, just like a steel plant or whatever. Start treating and listening the same way. Because that's how we're going to make it work. Taxation is a constant issue, of course, and you open that lid and you get into another lid or whatever, and it's not ours alone. We will be advocates as we are advised. From the ground up is going to be our approach and has been our approach since I came to office.
Okay. A topic that has been quite high profile in the very western part of Northumberland County, in Port Hope and in Cobourg, has been opioids and the emergence of a larger opioid trade in this region. How would you describe the situation in Colborne? I mean, we've talked about the cannabis and the drug bust, but are you seeing any impact in your communities?
Of course.
And what is form is that taking? Can you describe
it for us? Of course. Well, I mean, we have situations. We have, of course, the dramatic, the overdoses and so on, and the calls from the paramedics and so on and so forth. In our community, of course, you're more visible somehow as an entity when you're here. And opioids is across all age groups. It isn't as if it's somebody who's young and homeless or whatever. The opioid addiction problem is across all ages and all economic stratum. So, yes, we are aware of it. In terms of when it gets to the point where you need to do illegal things to get the drug, yes, we are aware of that too. We have, for example, there is our Guardian Pharmacy is part of a methadone program, and that to me is working quite well.
Do you think council needs to take other actions? I know that Cobourg Council, for example, just voted recently to give $10,000 to an initiative to try and start to coordinate an approach to addressing these issues. Is your council taking any particular actions, passed any bylaws or policies or procedures, or gotten involved directly in this?
I would say we're directly involved, not by bylaw, but by action.
So
that is part of our that is one of the prime motivators for us in being part of this Northumberland health team. Get these services coming to the community to offer. It's not a matter, you can't legislate.
Okay.
You can't legislate this away. You have to service this away. You have to be there.
So your response then, you see that being tied very tightly to the arrival of the Ontario health team.
Absolutely.
All right. And what are you hoping that's going to come out of that then in terms of the community response?
That there's support, that there's guidance, that we find the other solutions, we identify. The housing crisis, for example, is a problem for everyone, whether you're addicted or not. Just affordable housing.
Okay, what about affordable housing then? Because we did talk about one of your larger subdivisions, but what is the township doing in terms of creating affordable housing?
Well, we have a couple of new development proposals that are wanting to come ahead, and they are factoring in apartments for rent, and duplexes and condo or places to rent that are smaller. So those are factored into their designs. We are also planning to talk and look and meet with the county, for example, to investigate sites for developing affordable housing.
All right.
On our land.
On your land?
On municipally owned land.
I see. Interesting. I guess then, as our time is starting to run out, I'd ask you to, so what's next? What's in 2020 for Cramie Council?
Well, we have to get the budget passed, of course. We'll have a new team in place. We'll have a new organizational structure by that point.
So what are you looking at then in terms of budget increase? Have you set a target?
We're shooting for 3% or lower, but we have just had a bomb drop in terms of the increase in insurance rates, which we can do nothing about. A 33% increase in just insurance coverage. But we're shooting for 3%.
What else is on the agenda?
Oh, we have, we want to address the Keeler Center and get that going as a real operating venue that's generating income, etc. We want to celebrate our community and our sites. For example, some improvements at the Little Lake Beach. There are all kinds of things that come up that you never even think would be possible. We are very interested also in promoting Cramie as an entity, as a destination, offering an umbrella so that businesses themselves will have a plug-in so that they can promote themselves through an actual umbrella. We'll be supporting one another and branding ourselves so that people come through Cramie, even if we're en route to somewhere else. But we're looking at collaborating and cooperating with others.
I understand there's a new strategic plan, a five-year strategic plan for the Brighton-Cramie Chamber of Commerce coming down the pipe. Is that true?
I think that's what they have worked on.
Yeah. So is that going to be part of this branding promotion?
We will certainly work with them.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, and thanks for sharing with us. I hope you come back and bring us up to speed as we go through the year.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for the service that you provide.
Oh, thank you so much. And I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So please tune in. I would also like to say thanks to all of you who continue to write thoughtful, caring, and insightful comments to my posts on social media. Social media is not always a good place to debate issues, yet I'm grateful to those who demonstrate you can still have intelligent, considered, and caring discussions online. So thank you very much. If you have any comments, questions, rants, or raves, please email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can go to my Facebook page, consider-this.ca. Or if you're on Twitter, you can message me at rwash. If you'd like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this.